Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What up, what up, what up? Welcome back to Lockdown Universe, home of the bizarre, peculiar, and unheard of stories of UFO legend and paranormal lore. Welcome back, welcome back. Happy to be back. Hopefully you guys are doing excellent and taking care of yourselves. Welcome back. What a lovely day. What a lovely weekend. Hopefully you guys are having an awesome one too. So today, we're going to talk about an amazing event that happened back in 1969 in Berkshire County, Massachusetts. Now This particular event really hasn't hit my radar very much, and I'm surprised it hasn't. Maybe it's just because Berkshire is just such a generic name that I've skimmed over it, and it's really unfortunate because it's probably one of the most scariest abduction events in UFO history that we've recorded anyway, right? There's probably tons of them out there we don't know about, but this one's really interesting, so I'm going to get down into it. So if you've heard this already, that's okay, because I think I'm going to provide you with some information from the abductee Tom Reed himself that did this episode on UFO Witness recently. So I'm going to provide some of that, because this just it's terrifying. It's crazy to think about, like, in a realistic term, like in an abstract term. In an abstract, you know, way to think about abductions, it can be fun, it can be exciting, it can be exhilarating. But when you think about this actually happening to a real person, and it really happening, and then possibly happening to you or, like, your kids or something, it's freaking terrifying. So let's cover it. So today, we're going to talk about the Berkshire County, Massachusetts abduction of a family, actually, of the Thomas Reed's family, all the way back in 1969, September 1st. So they had a diner that they were keeping open late in Massachusetts. The more money, the better off they were, right? So they owned a diner. They were keeping it open late, but the kids were there. So it was the grandmother, the mother, and Thomas and his brother. And they were all going to go home, but they were trying to make some money and keep the restaurant open a little bit longer. They had to get home by 9 to go to bed, which is still pretty late for some young boys. But nonetheless, that was, you know, different time period, I guess. So they leave, and they're on their way back home at 9 o'clock at night. All of a sudden, this UFO flies over their car, and it makes some amazing colors, and it turns into some really bizarre shapes. And it becomes one of the strangest abstract UFO events. And the aliens, guys, I'm going to show you a picture. The aliens on this thing are unlike anything I've ever seen before. They are terrifying, dude. They're not even humanoid. That's how crazy it gets. So stick with me. Okay. So this event took place in Sheffield, near Old Covered Bridge. Now, this covered bridge is huge. Many of us have seen covered bridges before in pictures and even in real life. But this covered bridge really has a notoriety to it. Now, Thomas Reed states that he was traveling in the back with his brother. His grandmother was in the passenger's front seat, and his mother was driving. They go across the Old Covered Bridge, which is really long, really long. It looks like it's a few hundred feet, if not more, maybe 500 feet. They came across a white orb, and he stated that this white orb that came up the creek that this bridge was going across, he stated this craft was larger than a football field. Okay, how many times have we heard that before? Larger than a football field. That's like an aircraft carrier out in the ocean, right? We just don't have anything that can fly that's that big. There's just no way to keep it in the air, unless you have anti-gravity or something like that. So they tried to escape this UFO by continuing to drive down this covered bridge lane, and the craft followed them. Reed said that the car was engulfed by the light as they were pulled into the UFO. So his entire family went in, not just him, but his entire family went in. He actually took a polygraph test and was found to be 99.1% truthful. So 99% truthful. So that's the impetus of this particular story. I'm going to play a little bit of Tom talking about his encounter and what it meant to him. And let's get into that just for a moment here. Let's pull this up and let you listen in a little bit on what he thinks. So they actually went down to this covered bridge in this episode, and they're talking about it here. So listen to this.
This is the bridge, huh?
Yeah. We were coming into this about 8:30 at night.
How does it feel to kind of roll back up into this bridge?
It really is unsettling a little bit. This whole community, the restaurant, all brings back memories.
And this guy, he looks really cool. He's got like these glasses on that are like, you know, like, I don't know, the circle glasses. If you've ever seen the Oh Brother, Where Art Thou movie, the sheriff that is hunting down the George Clooney character and the rest of them. And he's got these circly dark glasses. And he's got a shaved head, and I think he's got a goatee. They're going to recount the story here.
So we were coming through here in a station wagon.
Got a little station wagon.
My mother was driving. My grandmother was in the passenger seat.
Keep that in mind.
As we exited this bridge, my grandmother had turned around, and she saw the sphere. This thing was huge. It had like a roll to it, like an ocean wave in the middle of it. It was very crisp, and it was right over there.
So he said it had like an ocean wave, almost like an undulating wave in the middle of it. How many times have we heard that about UFOs as well? Sometimes, not all the time, but a lot of times we have heard about that.
Yes, right over the water.
So it's right over the water.
We felt like we were deep underwater.
So he's saying the atmosphere felt like they were deep underwater, which means, you know, maybe a tractor beam was already engaging them, already starting to stop their movement. He states that it seems like all nature was shut off at some point. So listen in on this.
There was a silence. It was like someone just flipped the switch off on life itself.
We've heard that before, too.
And then there was this flash. And that's the last thing we remember from being in the car.
So they're taken.
The horror didn't end there.
At that point.
The car is where when all of a sudden you lose.
So at that point.
We came too.
Right? At that point, he doesn't have any recollection of what happened. He has to undergo hypnotic regression to find out more about what actually happened.
I say came too because I really don't know. We came to at different times. We didn't all come through at the same time.
That's weird.
The car was off. My grandmother was now in her driver's seat. My mother
she was in the passenger seat before.
I was in the same spot.
They flip-flop.
My brother's head was on my way.
So you had missing time as well.
Almost 3 hours.
3 hours. It seems to be the magical number, right? There's so many different episodes where we've talked about 3 hours, 3 hours, 3 hours. Typically, it's not a whole lot more than that unless you're in the Travis Walton case. Just not a lot of stories where there's longer than 3 hours. 3 hours seems to be enough time to bring them on board, to maybe, you know, strip them down or take samples or test samples. Maybe they're doing some of that too, and just finding out exactly what they have with these people, and then they bring them back. Maybe they go out into outer space to get the hell out of, you know, Earth's atmosphere and Earth's area, or maybe they go into another pocket dimension. We really don't know. We really have no idea.
spoke to another witness in this area who experienced missing time after seeing strange lights.
There's got to be something here because it's still happening.
There's something about this place. What's it like being right here, Tom?
I got like a chill across my shoulders. And
he says
I'm a little agitated. My mouth's dry. Been dry all day, a little bit. Here, it bothers me a lot here. And I'm not really sure why, because I don't remember anything horrific happening here. But yet, I still got like a chill.
He just doesn't like it. He's like, they basically
say, something like this happens in your past.
Let's get you out of here. Let's get you out of this area. And to him recount the actual abduction now that he knows about it.
Thank you so much for walking us through that event. I would really like to get more into the story. Get more details.
Yeah, you take it from the top.
Who would want to take it from the top?
Thing to talk about.
Just sorry to say, who the heck would want to take this from the top? I hope they reimburse this dude, because like, I would not want to talk about this too much after it happened. Like, because every time you talk about a traumatic event, it stirs up all that stuff in your body and in your mind, you know, and then it starts to impact you throughout your life again.
The car pulls up, you're seeing this orb, and then from that point to when you finally wake up, can you give us the details of what you remember?
Yes.
This is wild.
Tom found himself on a massive alien ship.
This is weird.
With no idea where his family was.
I remember being in the hangar. I was sitting on this, what looked like an autopsy table.
But he was not alone.
There were other figures there. Some looked like an ant. The head like a football. Stick-like legs like bamboo.
Wait. What?
There was nowhere to run.
Like bamboo? Have you heard about that
this
before?
This apparatus came down from the ceiling. Held me in place. And then these pockets were put on my body to look like giant raisins.
Whoa. Hold up now. Hold up. Now let's pause here for a second right now. First of all, he said their legs look like sticks of bamboo. Okay, we're going to show you a picture of one in just a second. Sticks of bamboo? What the hell? And now he's saying there's a device that came down from the ceiling, locked him in place. So he can't move. Haven't really heard too many stories about that. Here and there you hear a few. And then, this I have never heard of before. Packs of raisins? Packs that look like big sacks of raisins started plopping down all over his arms. What the hell is that? Are they sucking nutrients out of him? Are they plopping down some genetic material to steal his genetic material and then create a clone of him? Are they some like leech-like entity? Because leeches, we know, they plop down, they look like, you know, like raisins, and they suck your blood and, you know, whatever. What the hell were the aliens doing with these sack-like raisin things? What the hell? It doesn't even sound technical or technological. It sounds purely biological, like a freaking leech. Come on. Here we go. Play it up, baby. Let's go. Let's do this. Sorry, it's taking a second here.
I mean, I was going in and out of being scared. And, you know, I remember other things, too, that I don't say too often, like being hurt. I remember sitting somewhere and screaming because I had, like, what felt like boiling water going through my back and arms.
Like they put something in you.
What it felt like, maybe a liquid or a fluid.
See, that's what I'm thinking.
So that was painful. The arm was painful.
Like those raisin
sacks. It's terrifying.
It's
absolutely terrifying.
I was just... It was, like right now, I've got the chill thing again.
Did your mom or grandma experience similar things?
I remember what I believed to be my mother calling for me. Screaming.
As a father, I can tell you that that's pretty heartbreaking to me.
We're about to get to the point where they show us the aliens.
To try and find out why.
I'll show you that.
You're saying it looked like an insectoid, sort of ant-like head.
Yes, I got a picture of it. I'll
check this.
In my case. Why don't you pull that out for us? This is a very good depiction of my brother, and I paid a fortune to have this done.
Look at that.
Alien
look at that.
Researchers are plenty familiar
what?
With these so-called insectoids.
What?
The insectoid interaction with abductees are very...
That is insane. That is insane. Did you see that thing? Okay, so let's pause here for a moment and just talk about that for a second. If I could... I can't get this damn thing to pause here. But anyway, I wanted to say that in that picture... He said he paid a lot to get that image done. What's interesting is, and now I think I might be able to pause it, is that it looks like nothing we've ever seen before. It looks like it's got these like legs that are like an A, you know, like a capital letter A that can walk around. And then it's got like arms that just define, they do look like bamboo. He was right. They look like bamboo. It's so bizarre, you can't even explain it. It's so weird. It doesn't look like an insectoid. They're calling it an insectoid, but it doesn't look like an insectoid to me. It looks like something I've never seen before. It does look like somewhat like an insect, but the head looks like a potato, and the rest of the body looks like it's just like made up of just a bunch of weird body parts. And then they're talking about those raisin things, and the raisin things don't even sound like they would be part of this entity at all. So, you know, how do they connect? But where are these guys from? Like, they're clearly not bipedal humanoids. They're clearly some other type of alien species, which should kind of give you the chills too, okay? And the reason I say that is because we're so familiar with like the little grays and oh okay, they're not that harmful, you know, if you know Travis Walton could wake up and threaten them with like a beaker that he broke, then you know they're not that terrifying. But if you see one of these little sons of bitches running around on a spaceship that you're on and you can't get off and this thing is doing some movements you've never seen before, looking like insects. Insects are all nasty and they move weird anyway. Ugh. I would hate it. I would hate it, and I would want to, like, get the hell out of there as fast as you could, but you're stuck on a spaceship. So Derek Sims was a previous agent, and now he's an alien alien hunter, or you know, whatever, a ufologist, whatever you want to call us. And he talked about how if you're ever around an insectoid, it's not a good thing. They're never there to like help you out. They're only there to help themselves out. You know, and I've heard different stories of different things. I've heard mantis beings being a helpful, beneficial entity that people feel good around them. And I've heard other stories about people feeling like they're the devil and they're evil and they're horrible. Well, how do we make a real distinguished statement between the two when we have varying stories? Are these entities similar to humankind, where there's some that seem like they're good guys and can play off good guys and play as good guys, and then, you know, in reality they're just out for themselves and to help themselves and do whatever they need to do? And some other individuals of that same species just don't care, and they don't care about how they come off. They don't care how to help you. They don't say, don't worry, it's going to be fine. You know, we do hear stories of them talking to us telepathically and saying, it's going to be okay. Everything will be all right. We're not going to hurt you, da-da-da-da. We heard about that in the Betty and Barney Hill story, but unfortunately they put a needle right into her navel, and she was like, please stop, it hurts. And they're like, don't worry, everything's going to be fine. So it doesn't seem like everything's going to be fine with these species. She wasn't even with the insectoids, you know. So, like, it doesn't matter what species you're really with. It almost seems like none of them are really 100% altruistic. Everybody, every entity out there, human, animal, alien, extraterrestrial, interdimensional, all have a reason for being, and they individually are an expression of the universe. They're expressing their needs, they're expressing their interests, they're expressing their desires. When they do that, they're inevitably going to do it at the behest sometimes of another entity. If you're living, you eat meat, you're doing it at the behest of that poor animal, right? I eat meat. I'm not against meat eaters. What I'm saying is that to live is to inevitably cause some trauma somewhere, somehow, some way, right? We do the best we can, even when we experiment on animals, but we're not the best either, right? I mean, you can look at some of our previous studies, and they've been horrible on animals. And I think there's been, you know, dramatic improvements on that, but we're still testing on animals different products, different things, different, hygiene and medical products. So we're not the best either. So anyway, you know, to kind of like wrap this up with the Berkshire case, I think that there's a few facts and findings that are interesting. One of them is that the grandmother and the mother flip-flop places in the car. The grandmother was in the passenger seat, moved to the driver's seat. The brother was like passed out in Tom's lap. They were inside of a huge ship. Tom said he was in the hangar. That's all he said. And then he was on an examination table. And then he was being held down. Then he had these raisin-like things wrapped on him. Then he felt like there was blood, like boiling water going through his body. Could that have been from the raisin-type patches that were put on him? Could that have been from something else? We don't know. We do know that when he went down into the certain area near this covered bridge, that he felt differently than when he was just on the covered bridge. Was that a trigger in his mind of a PTSD event? Or was that something there, you know, chemically or biologically or ethereally from this event that was causing it to his body? We really don't know. These are questions that, you know, we could implore more into. I think that Tom is a brave dude. I think that anybody that comes forward is brave. I think that anybody comes forward doesn't have a lot to gain, you know, unless they're selling millions of books. They're not making a lot of money. And he's not going out on, like, these, you know, UFO tours with, like, you know, Giorgio with his crazy hair, or, you know, Von Daniken or any of those other guys. These guys aren't making money. They're just coming forward with their truth. And their truth was 99.1% true on the lie detector test. So we have these insectoids that have come up. There's been praying mantis types. There's been these ant insectoid types. And now we have these weird ones that his image is unlike any other insectoid being I've ever seen before. So, is it part of the insectoid creature classes that we already know about, races that we already know about, or is it its own race? It comes from another planet, and it's a totally different species. See, one of the things to take into consideration is you could be a species, and you can create another of your own species, but with certain additional maybe appendages or something like that for additional benefit. These guys can create a lot. These guys are intelligent. These guys are stealing DNA and making hybrid things with it. So is it possible for humans in, let's say, you know, a few hundred years, a few thousand years, to create a four-armed human, you know, as a slave race or something like that? Sure, it's possible. Could these alien beings have done that? You know, like an insectoid being creating a smaller insectoid being that can only crawl, you know, in certain ways to do certain things? Sure, that's possible. Is it likely? Some people say that the Greys are just a created robot species. And some say that they're not. Some say that there's some that are and some that are not. That are some that are actually a real race and some that are just a robot segment of that race, right? Just like humans, we're creating robots as we speak. So we really don't know. All we really know is we've never, ever, 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 ever come across a abduction case where the aliens utilize some sort of raisin packets or what look like raisin packets on their abductees. That is something that is very unique to this case. And we've never, ever, ever heard or seen of a species that looked like this, that had bamboo legs, and were not the praying mantis kind, or not like the ant people. You know, this thing seems very different. The ant people seem to be pretty tall. This thing seemed to be kind of short and have like, kind of like almost like a spider body to it. That's the first thing that popped up into my mind. And then the head was like a potato. It was very, very bizarre. Very bizarre. So, I guess we can wrap it there. I think there's just so many questions. You know, again, not enough answers. But every time we come across a new species or a new story, we can add it to our library and our brain database and just say, hey, this is just another event where we can add to our understanding of different species and say, okay, we've heard about this one, we've heard about that one. And that's exactly what the Vatican has. They have their library of books of different species and different craft right below the Vatican. So that's what we're doing. We're adding, collecting to our consciousness and our library in our mind of different species. So hopefully I did that for you tonight. Hopefully you enjoyed the podcast. Hopefully you're taking care of yourselves emotionally, physically, spiritually, taking care of your loved ones, following through on your hobbies and your goals and your dreams, whatever they may be. And as always, continue to question the universe about you. I do really care about you guys. I hope you guys do well and take care of yourselves. And if you have any stories, feel free to write them in. I do see your comments. I do try to make the podcast better based off of comments. I do also really appreciate the nice and kind comments. Those are really great too. I really appreciate that as well, because I'm trying to do the best I can. I'm not going to be perfect. So I appreciate you guys, and I'm enjoying bringing this to you. So take care of yourselves. Lockdown Universe out. Peace.